welcome back to the Dollars and Cents Show, everyone. This is Carol Topp, your host, and we are focusing, as I have been for a couple months now, on episodes that help homeschool leaders. This should actually be called the Homeschool CPA Podcast, but Dollars and Cents Show is what it got named originally, and that's what we're keeping it. And in today's episode, I want to answer a question that I'm asked quite a bit, and that is, how does the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, see my homeschool support group? In other words, what's my homeschool support group's status with the IRS? That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, in truth, the IRS might not see your homeschool support group at all. Maybe you run without a bank account. Some groups can do that. Maybe you just applied for an employer identification number a long time ago and never did anything else. But in general, there are two classifications that homeschool groups fall into. One would be the one you probably have heard of, you're probably familiar with, and it's called 501c3. That's part of the IRS code. And that applies to charities, religious organizations, educational organizations. And that's where most homeschool groups would fit because they have an educational purpose. But maybe your support group doesn't have as much an educational purpose. You have more of a social or recreational purpose. You would probably fit better under a slightly different category the IRS has called 501c7 social clubs. Okay, so let me go ahead and explain what 501c7 social clubs are, see if that seems to fit your support group, and then I'm going to talk to you about, well, basically what you need to do to maintain this tax-exempt status. All right, let me dive in. Okay, here's what the IRS says a 501c7 social club is. Their purpose is pleasure, social interaction, or recreation. One of the requirements to fit the definition of 501c7 is that you have personal face-to-face contact with other members, and basically you have fellowship. You have a limited membership, meaning you're kind of focused on a certain group of people. You're not quite open to the public because you're focused on certain people belonging to your group. And in the homeschool support group, it would be people who homeschool. That would be how you'd limit your membership. Or maybe people interested in homeschooling, okay? 501c7 social clubs are mostly supported by their membership fees. So that's really true of homeschool support groups, right? I was belonging to a support group and our fees were, they vary, $20, maybe up to $30, $40, $50 a year, depending upon, what the expenses of the organization are. But most of the money for my homeschool support group came from their fees. Matter of fact, the IRS has a rule here. It says 65% or more of your income needs to come from membership fees, meaning 35% can come from something else. Membership fees, let me clarify, that means any income that comes from your membership. So I know your support group might do field trips. Those aren't quite fees, but they come from your membership. Okay, so up to 35% can come from outside your membership. That might be something like a fundraiser. Okay. You don't sell any products or services to anybody except to your members. So let me insert an example here. My neighborhood swimming pool is a 501c7 social club. They're a swim and tennis club. All right. They have they're formed for recreational purposes, swimming and playing tennis. We definitely have personal contact, face-to-face contact with members. We have limited membership. It's a geographically limited. You have to sign up and pay membership dues to belong to the pool. All their income comes from membership fees or swimming lessons for the members or what else? Social events that they charge a fee for. I don't even think my pool does much in the way of fundraisers. Never seen one. They don't sell any products or services to the general public. They sell products, sodas at the little concession stand and services, meaning swimming lessons. To their members. Okay, so that's a good example of a very common example. A swimming club or a tennis club, something like that, is a social club. That also fits homeschool co-ops, doesn't it? All those things I mentioned. Let me go on. 501c7 social clubs don't receive tax-deductible donations. You could certainly make a donation to your homeschool support group if you wanted to, but they can't give you a receipt saying, thanks for the donation, you can write this off on your taxes. You can't. Sorry. That privilege of tax-deductible donations is reserved for 501c3s. We're not talking about that. We're talking about homeschool support groups, which are more than likely 501c7s. They can be pretty active legislatively, if that matters to you. Maybe not. Some of your homeschool groups might be a little more active in passing out information about legislation that affects parenting or homeschooling in your area, and you're free to do that. Now, here's one thing, probably the best thing about understanding your status as a 501c7 social club, again, for homeschool support groups, and that is you can self-declare your tax-exempt status without ever applying to the IRS. Meaning you could just stand up one day and say, if I fit those criteria Carol just talked about, Carol Taub, the homeschool CPA talked about, you know, we're formed for social or recreational purposes, we have limited membership, we're supported by membership fees, more than 65% of our income comes from membership fees, we don't sell products or services except to our members, we are tax exempt, which means you don't pay taxes on your leftover income. That is a great thing. You don't have to file a form to claim that. You don't have to send any information into the IRS. You, like I said, you can just stand up and say, we declare we are tax exempt. Woo! All right. Okay, that being said, I do want to warn you, although you don't have to apply for tax exempt status as a 501c7 social club, a homeschool support group, you do have to maintain it. Oh, maintain it. Well, how do you do that? Well, back in 2007, the IRS changed the rules, and you knew how you didn't have to do anything. Used to, but 10 years ago, they changed the rules. And now to maintain your tax-exempt status, you've got to tell the IRS once a year that your 501c7 homeschool support group is still in existence. And you do that via a very short electronic notification called the IRS Form 990-N, N like a nobody, okay? The IRS calls it their electronic postcard. It takes you about 5 minutes to fill it out, and that's what maintains your tax-exempt or tax-free status. And what I'm talking about here is federal income tax, okay? Taxes on any money you have left over at the end of the year. By the way, I have had more than one homeschool homeschool support group say to me, well, we spend all the money that comes in. Like, we bring money in for field trips and our membership dues, but at the end of the year, we spend almost all of it. We have hardly any left over. Therefore, we don't have any money to tax. Therefore, we don't need tax exempt status. And then they say, we don't need to, you know, do anything with the IRS. Not quite right. Not right at all. Basically, you have to prove to the IRS that you didn't have any leftover money, which would mean filing a tax form, or, like I said, self-declaring your tax-exempt status and maintaining it by filing that 990-N. So if you call me and you say, Carol, I've got the support group. We've been around for 15, 20 years. I get these emails and phone calls a lot. We've never done anything with the IRS. I will say, now it's time. Now it's time to start filing your 990-Ns. The problem is you can't hop on the IRS website. irs.gov/990-N is where you go. You can't just hop on there and start filing these 990-Ns. You know why? Your organization isn't in the IRS database for tax-exempt organizations yet. Remember, you never applied. Probably you never applied. Okay, so how do you get into the IRS database so that you can file the 990-N so you can maintain that tax-exempt status? Well, I have a little bit of information on that. You call the IRS. I'm going to send you to my website to get the details, okay? Go head over to homeschoolcpa.com. Right there on the homepage, over in one of the columns off to the right sidebar, is a blog post, and it's entitled, How to Get in the IRS Database and File Your 990-N. Or you can just Google that. IRS database, 990N, homeschool CPA or homeschool group, and you'll get the information you need. I give you the phone number to call. I tell you exactly what to say in that blog post, okay? So that you will talk to the IRS. It won't take you long. If you call very early in the morning, they open like 8 a.m. Eastern time. So call early. I tell you exactly what to say in that blog post so you can get in their database, start filing your 990Ns. All right? So do that so you maintain that tax-exempt status. Now, let me go back to something I talked about a little bit earlier. What if you're one of these groups that has been around a very long time and you've never filed the 990N? Well, the IRS says there's no penalty if you're late, but if you don't file for 3 years in a row, your tax-exempt status is automatically revoked. You lost it. You lost something you didn't know you had to maintain, but you lost it, which means you're supposed to start paying taxes on any leftover money you have at the end of the year and filing the tax form to prove to the IRS how much is left. You probably don't want that headache. So probably the best point is to email me, carol@homeschoolcpa.com, and we probably need to have a discussion about how you can get that tax-exempt status back. There are some easy ways to do it, or some groups say, I think we need a little more reorganization, and we can talk about the different options that are open to you, the most cost-effective, the easiest way to get your tax-exempt status back. Okay. And you do understand, I hope you understand that if you don't have tax-exempt status with the IRS and you're not in their database of tax-exempt organizations, then you should be paying taxes and filing income tax returns with the IRS. Okay? Tax-exempt status is automatic to 501c7 social clubs. You just have to maintain it by filing those 990Ns every year. And there's a little more complication to that. You can certainly read a little bit more about 990N. There's some dollar thresholds that you can file that 990N. Anyway, I wanted you to just understand in this pretty short podcast just how the IRS might see your homeschool support group. Again, they probably see them as social clubs, 501c7 social clubs. A lot of advantages to being a social club. The biggest advantage, of course, is tax exemption and the fact that you can self-declare your tax exemption, not have to apply. By the way, if you do want to apply and officially apply to the IRS, get a nice official letter saying you're tax exempt, you can do that with a form that's called the Form 1024. It's an IRS form. The fee to file is $400, one-time fee. I can help you do that, or you might just want to, like I said, call the IRS and get their database, save yourself $400 by applying. All right. Again, you don't have to apply. You can if you want to. But anyway, my website, homeschoolcpa.com, has got more information about homeschool support groups, about tax-exempt status with the IRS, and about this form 990N. So hop on over there when you're done listening to this podcast, learn a lot, and drop me an email. You can on the contact page at the website. If some of this is confusing to you, listen to the podcast again. Maybe this is confusing to you, or we can schedule a phone call and help get you straightened out with the IRS. We do not want trouble with the IRS. I want your homeschool group to be very successful and around for a long time to come. That's why I do these podcasts. That's why I created a website, just to help you be a better leader. So I hope this was helpful. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.